Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to The Hotbed, episode 4, Just Look at the State of Me. I'm Lisa Williams.
I'm Aniki Somerville.
And I'm Cherry Healy.
And this is The Hotbed, the podcast by The Hotbed Collective, which aims to make the world better, one orgasm at a time. Today we're going to be talking about body confidence. We're going to try and work out why it is that women feel so crap about themselves the whole time, and how that can affect things in the bedroom and beyond. It's a sad topic, but it's an important one, and we're going to unpick it. We are going to eavesdrop on the time I posed nude at the Women of the World Festival. And lastly, we're going to talk to life coach Mary Meadows, who's going to give us some homework to help us feel as good and as body confident as Sophia Loren. All this plus a quick detour via a vibrator review, because everybody needs good vibes. Now, I mentioned Sophia Loren because she's known for saying, "Everything you see, I owe to spaghetti."
Spaghetti.
Pasta.
Pasta.
Oh, God bless her.
Now, in researching this show, I found out that she didn't actually say this. She said, "Non è vero," when a reporter asked her, but never let the facts get in the way of a good intro.
What does non è vero?
Non è vero. It's not true.
Oh.
She said she never said it. But anyway, we're going to pretend that she did. And normally we find out what we're wearing to set the scene. But in the spirit of this episode, I'm going to ask Cherry and Aniki what they owe to their bodies. Grammatically, I'm not sure that makes sense, but I want them to start the sentence. Everything you see, I owe to...
I owe to cheese and giving up the gym.
And why is that, Cherry, quickly?
Because I spent all my 20s eating rubbish diet food and pounding myself at the gym miserably and just being really militant and no joy in anything. And I realised that actually I was overeating. I was just eating bad diet food. I mean, with weird chemicals in it. And that maybe if I stopped overeating and just ate yummy things that made me feel good and made me feel full and did exercise that I found fun, then I'd maybe be able to find a happier place food-wise. And I now exercise without having to bribe myself. And I can also stop when I'm full because the food I eat is really great. And I didn't eat cheese until I was 32.
So it only took you 32 years to work that out.
And then I realised that the best thing to do is to eat until you're full and then stop.
But if you eat
food that doesn't really contain any nutrition, as full of chemicals, your body feels hungry all the time.
And that's funny because that's such common sense, isn't it?
My mum's been saying it for 20 years.
Common sense, yep. Mm. Lovely. Aniki, everything you see, you ought to...
It's funny, I was quite a late comer to running, actually. And when you say that you run, people sort of think you're Davina McCall running, like long distance.
Linford Christie
running. Mm. But I like to do a sort of 5K 3 times a week, which sounds like quite a lot, but it's not that far, it's about half an hour.
Half an hour.
Yeah. Mm. And I did try building it up a bit, but actually I got quite bored after a while, because actually I think half an hour is enough. And for me, it's all about being outside. So I feel like I've spent a lot of time cooped up sort of on a laptop, and I hate gyms. I just absolutely, I can't bear them. I just think they stink. I don't like the atmosphere in there. I don't mind going to a class, but I really like being outside, and I'm lucky that I live near to a canal, so we can, you know, I kind of run along there. I listen to podcasts, or I listen to Public Enemy. I listen to lots of hip hop. Because I don't go out anymore, that is kind of my going out. Like, literally, I come back and I'm on a real high.
Yeah.
So yeah, I definitely recommend, even if you're not actually running, walking outside. I think loads of studies done into kind of how it, you know, gives you loads of good feelings, and it's quite hard to feel. I mean, at this time of year, when it's, yeah, it stops you from feeling depressed, basically.
Do you feel the difference if you haven't been able to go, mentally and physically?
Yeah, so I basically get very inside my head. So I just feel like I'm very anxious and I'm sort of, you know, monging loads of things over.
And you were saying that you've been suffering from insomnia this week.
Yes, this week has mostly been eating insomnia. It has been.
And do you think that is as a result of not having been on a run?
Yeah, I think probably. I think probably going for a run means physically you're tired, but mentally you just get that sense of kind of peace and clarity. And I feel really good afterwards. So I definitely recommend it. It hasn't given me an amazing physique, but I think it's more about mental health benefits for me. And that's it. That's mine.
So Lisa, so far we have cheese and running. What's yours?
Running cheese.
Everything you see I owe to health food, but too much health food. So there's too much of everything in moderation. Not me. I like to go for super nutritious stuff and then I just can't resist having that bit too much of it. So I think I'm probably quite healthy from a nutrition point of view. I do eat a lot of fruit and veg, flax seeds, chia seeds, protein, low-fat protein. I just have quite a lot of it. I've got an appetite. However, I have just had a baby. I'm still in my maternity jeans and I'm trying not to bounce back too quickly and building up my core strength and just not being too hard on myself food-wise at the moment.
You need those energy. Yeah. You know, like I ate loads of cake and quite a lot of sugar, but I think that was just because I was so tired. And I know that's probably not the way forward. I just think in those early weeks.
Yeah, it's the balance between kind of what don't be too hard on yourself, and but then don't eat stuff that's going to make you feel kind of rubbish as
but
well.
Isn't that the $1 million question? Don't be too hard on yourself. Well, how do you do that? Because you can catch yourself for a flicker of a moment and you can stop that negative gremlin, but it's often in so many women so pervasive, so throughout the day, you can't be that self-aware for that amount of time. And that's why it's so difficult, I think, is that you can have a moment of feeling good and affirming yourself and then it catches you again. So Lisa, how do you keep those negative thoughts at bay?
I think I'm quite a confident person. I don't think I've got the best physique, but I think as long as I'm healthy and can sleep enough, I've got the best physique. Oh, thank you.
I think I'm really slim and healthy.
I'm trying to externalize thoughts about myself whereby I sort of think, what can my body do that's amazing, as opposed to what does it look like? Because I think that is the key to body confidence for me. So it's nice on a day where you have a lovely crisp cold day that we've had quite a lot of recently and you think, I've got legs and I can walk and I can run, or, you know, and I can do all of this stuff. I can dance, I can hold a baby. I think that's what I always have to focus on rather than thinking, what do I look like? I don't have the body that I want. Ultimately, you can't change your shape no matter what exercise you do. You can make yourself bigger, smaller, healthier, unhealthier, but you can't really do much about body shape.
Unless you go to South Korea. Yeah.
That is the tricky
really
thing that people, women bond by putting themselves down. And so I've not really liked women who I felt haven't been self-deprecating about their bodies, because I think that's kind of how we bond. So if you meet somebody and they sort of go, oh, my bum's really fat, or I've got lots of cellulite, that's kind of how we get to know one another and we feel that we're okay. And that's not really healthy, but that's kind of how we're brought up, is kind of, if you want to be nice and seen as a nice person, you will find something self-deprecating to say about yourself.
So there's no coincidence that Sophia Loren is Italian and we're British and we're being very self-deprecating. So this is a fact that I found while I was researching this show. In the UK, only 20% of women said they like the way they look. And South Africans are the most body confident, apparently.
They do lots of sport, I imagine.
Maybe it's sport, maybe it's outdoorsy, maybe it's just a mindset thing. I think in this country, we are very self-deprecating and it's much easier to deflect a compliment than to accept one. It's much easier to bond, like you say, over your hang-ups.
We don't get our bodies out very often. That's the other thing. When I go on holiday and I sort of see women of all ages on the beach, you know, if you go to Greece, you'll see like a you know, a young teenage girl and the mum and the grandma, and they're sort of walking along the beach in their swimming costumes. And I'm getting the impression there's less of that kind of body beating up business going on.
Then maybe it comes back
to being out and about with no clothes on, or less clothes.
It comes back as well to what we were talking about earlier about the enjoyment of dry humping. Like dry humping, what happened to dry humping?
Bring it back.
Bring back dry humping.
We did a survey into Sex After Kids and we asked people what they thought would make their sex life better. And I assumed that the biggest reason that parents weren't happy with their sex lives would be something to do with birth trauma or birth injury, or the sort of the redefinition of their bodies. But actually, it was just body confidence. It was people saying, I feel really crap about myself. I don't want to be naked. And I just don't feel like a sexy person. And therefore, it is really relevant how we feel. And I think it's sad. It's 20% of women feel good about themselves in the UK, and apparently 1 in 50 have some kind of body dysmorphic disorder.
So I'm amazed it's not more.
So am I.
I thought it would be higher than that.
I don't know that many women who can say that they do not suffer from body issues and that they really enjoy and love and appreciate their body.
I don't know many. And the other thing I think it's important to say is it doesn't really matter what you look like in general. You can be any shape or size and not feel confident about yourself. So quite often it is really nothing to do with...
This is a mental issue, actually, not really about the... Not, it's not really about how healthy you are.
The difficulty is if you've had... Because I was overweight when I was a child, and I think if you have those experiences when you're young, there can be some really pivotal experiences you have, and they can shape you, and then it doesn't really matter for the rest of your life.
You'll never be thin enough.
Yeah, those kind of issues of being called fatty in the playground or whatever, you'll never really get over that, and it doesn't really matter, because I've been all kinds of different sizes throughout my life, but I've always been the fat person inside. And I think lots of people talk about that who have lost weight or gained weight, whatever. You retain that low self-esteem, because unfortunately when you're young, those experiences
And I'm exactly the same,
because it's not about your body. This is the thing about being a woman, that is about your value as a human being, and that's what's so destructive about women and body issues, is that it's not really about, it's not about someone saying I don't like your hair or I don't like your clothes or whatever it is. It's what diminishes then is your value as a human person. As a human being.
Yeah.
Now listen.
We need to move on to the next bit of the podcast.
So you went and interviewed the fabulous Mary Meadows.
Yeah. Mary Meadows is someone who, she's really cool. She used to be part of the Supercharge Club. She's a life coach. And she's had a really interesting past. I mean, she's very open about her own history. She's a mum. I think she wouldn't mind if I tell you that she's had her own battles with depression and things. Body confidence wise, she's really somebody good to talk to. I mean, just generally confidence wise. And she feels good in herself. She's fit. She exercises, but she's not actually a size 12 or even a 10. I don't know what size she is, but she's just a normal, everyday sized woman.
She seems like a really good advocate for, you can be really healthy, but you don't need to prescribe to a certain look.
Yeah, exactly. And so she's kind of, I think lots and lots of women can relate to her. But what I love about her is that I find a lot of these kind of life coachy style people, it's all a bit samey. And what I like about her is that she has quite tangible advice on stuff you can do. So she'll say, she's a big fan of taking action, because I think it's all too often we're kind of like, oh, I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about that. She's like, what are you actually going to do? And one of her questions she'll often say, she'll say, what are you going to do to make yourself feel better at this moment in time? So you're in a funk, you're feeling bad about your body. What are you going to do? And it's usually some sort of positive action. Yeah. So, I find her super inspiring. So I spoke to her about all kinds of things, actually.
She set some homework.
She did set some homework. I'm going to try it now on you, actually. Okay. So I'm going to see how you respond, okay?
All right.
And then we'll talk a little bit about it. So Cherry, that jumper looks really good on you. I really love it. It really makes you look really sexy.
It's my mum's and it's a really boring jumper, but thank you.
See, that is exactly what the homework was. So basically, Mary says that we're very bad at taking compliments. So if somebody offers you a compliment, you tend to immediately bat it back again and you say, oh, this old thing, even though it might be a new jumper. Or you say, oh, my hair, no, I just washed it, that's all. That's the only difference, when you've actually had it styled or you've made an effort. So her bit of homework was quite interesting. She said, just try and take a compliment. And take it with grace. So basically, if someone says something nice to you, you just say, oh, thank you. And that's it. And then maybe take it another step further and write those compliments down. Because we have a bit of a negative bias. So we tend to always remember the shit thing. So I've got an image of my mind of this girl taking the piss out of me running.
Oh.
But I don't remember the fact that somebody said I had nice skin 2 days ago. So even if it's a bit plonky, write down little compliments. Yes. So, you know,
but
if
also
somebody
said... hide that box of compliments.
Yeah.
Or just someone find it.
Yeah. Because it might...
You are the best.
Well, I think you said something to me once and I can't remember what it was. It was something about my writing, and I did write that down. It was a nice compliment.
I love your writing.
But I thought, I will write that down and I'll remember it, because when I am awake in the middle of the night, that's the kind of thing I can remember.
Because actually, in the middle of the night, you just remember the awful, stressful things in the day, and you wouldn't necessarily, that's not something you would remember.
No.
All right, well, look, up next is Anarchy interviewing the fabulous Mary Meadows. Here it is.
Think a little bit about kind of sex, because I guess one of the reasons we formed the hotbed was that we felt that women didn't really talk enough about it, and we were quite surprised, because actually we didn't know one another very well, but we found it much easier to talk to one another about sex than we did with our closest friends. And I think we found that quite a strange thing. And one of the things we sort of realised, actually, is that we wanted people to talk about it more. And I just wondered, in your experience, sort of with your clients and life coaching, does sex often come into the conversation? Or is it something that, again, it just feels like women are sort of more focused on, you know, maybe their career, you know, how are they going to kind of manage family? Or do they tend to, does it tend to come up as being something they're worried about?
I think there's all the areas of our life. And I like to think that through coaching with me and any connection with me, that you think about your whole life. So, you know, focusing too much energy on one area doesn't always, you know, that's not the best idea. So one of the really easy tools, I should have bought one, we could have done it actually, is called the Wheel of Life, and it's literally looking at all the different areas of our life. So I'm thinking about it right now, and kind of giving it a gauge, a 1 out of 10, and then choose where you want to put your energy, where you want to focus your goals. You know, is it in that kind of relationship section? Is it in another? A lot of people find that kind of rooting it in the kind of the self area actually has a knock-on effect to others. So somebody, so a lot of kind of a, there's lots of common threads through my coaching that I do, and one of the most common things that action that happens is that there's a new strength of self-care. So the amount of clients that come to me with you know, holy pants and holy socks and, you know, naff bras and stuff, and it's like, it's no wonder we don't feel that good. You know, and we're really good at it as mums. I think we're really good at, like, you know, I bought Albie some new trousers the other day, because, you know, you do that, you don't think anything of spending that money, but when it comes to spending stuff for ourselves, it's really hard, and we think, oh, you know, and we don't think it matters. So I think that's a kind of, and then that has a knock-on effect about how we feel. So the common things that I hear from women is, I loathe my body. You know, and loathe is such a strong word. I'm tired.
And it's, I mean,
bad.
That kind of thing about, you know, not feeling good about your body, which is, I suppose, it's quite common post baby, isn't it? Because your body changes so
it's
much.
A massive change.
How does that impact on sex then? Because I mean, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah,
in
of
terms
course.
Of how good you feel in yourself, yeah. And how much you want your partner to even see your body. I think when we had our event, I was talking about the fact that I don't like being on top because basically my body has changed a lot. And to be honest, I never really did like it, maybe because I'm lazy, but I feel very self-conscious about my body. And I spoke to another friend and she said that she'd caught sight of herself in a mirror
And she'd cried because she was on top, and she basically said, I looked so bloody awful, like, you know, that I just wept. And she said, I felt really low. And I thought, that's really sad, isn't it, that we feel like that about our bodies and that it impacts so heavily.
And I think most of us have a kind of a bad experience about our bodies during sex. I think that's a kind of common thread, isn't it? I could tell you a story, you could tell me a story, we've heard stories. And I think that's where the self-confidence, the self-belief and loving where we are right now is really important. And I think that the kind of love, don't wait for someone else to give you a compliment. You know, start right here, right now. Look in the mirror and think, yeah, you've got it. You know, it's about small everyday stuff. And that's how we build ourselves up. Also, I imagine that lady that you just gave that information about, you know, I bet her partner wasn't thinking the same thing. And I think the more we have the conversations, and it's not about sympathy, it's about empathy. So, and this is what you're doing with talking about it, you know, we have an empathy. I imagine people listening will have an empathy with that. They'd have caught sight of themselves or something, you know, and that feels bad. And that's where change starts, having a conversation and actually thinking, is this, you know, is this something that I want to do something about?
So if you imagine, so if you're somebody who's in a situation where, say, you've identified that the sex sort of part of your life, or it's related to your relationship part of your life, isn't as you want it to be.
Okay.
How do you sort of take steps? Because what I'm hearing is about taking action, and that's obviously the most important thing. How do you sort of, well, for want of a better word, dive in there?
Yeah.
Okay. How do you kind of get that conversation on the move? And I suppose without being so direct that your partner is kind of frightened to death.
Yeah.
And that you kind of, you feel like you're, because I suppose with other things, that's the thing, like with work, you could probably set yourself three things. You could say, I'm going to contact so-and-so and I'm going to interview this person, I'm going to do that. With sex, it's a bit more difficult how you might go through that.
Yeah, you can still chunk it down. You can still chunk down that action. So if you want to start something, if you want to change something, conversation is a place to start. And it's about having hard conversations, particularly if it's not a subject that you are necessarily quite comfortable talking about. So pick your moment for a start. You know, it's, you know, and you will know your partner's best time to do that. Not usually when they walk, you know, when you first meet, they kind of pick your time and then talk about it, why it's important to you. So it's about not having a conversation where things like blame and shame aren't involved on that level. So talking about it, a great starting point is, when this happens, this makes me feel like this. Can you see? So it's totally different. Even adding in a kind of hand gesture towards yourself so that there's no blame on that other person. There's no shame involved. It's just that when this happens, this makes me feel like this. And that's a starting point. Conversation can happen from there, and positive conversation. And then decide what you want to do about it with the person you're having sex with.
What would you say, I don't know, are you under the impression, because we did a little survey when we first kicked off and a lot of parents were saying things like, I think we interviewed 700 or surveyed 700, and they were saying things like, I wish I was more adventurous. And they agreed quite heartily to that. They sort of said we were more adventurous than we are post-kids. And they said, you know, we wish we had sort of more sex and probably did more. We probably did more role play or more experimental things when we were getting to know one another. I don't know. Does that ring true for you as well? That you think for parents in particular, it's not only that sex gets less frequent, but it also gets less adventurous and fun?
Well,
it might not just be parents, actually.
No, exactly. Yeah. I think it's any long-term relationship, isn't it? And I think that's just what happens because we don't pay enough attention to that area. So if it's important to you, you know, keep having the conversations. You know, how are you going to measure it? What does adventurous look like for you? Because it looks like different things for different people, isn't it? And we all have different likes and dislikes. So it's about fleshing that out. You know, it's making a statement saying, I want to be more adventurous in the bedroom. That's not going to go anywhere. That's just a thought. That's just something said. That's just something in your head. And the less it happens, the bigger that will get, and the more frustrated that you'll become, and the more you wish that something was happening and something isn't. So it's just a thought, it's just a statement. There's nothing to it. Mm-hmm. So it's about looking at what does that look like for you. So anything you want to bring into your life, think about actually what does that mean? And is that in agreement with my partner as well? So is that what he thinks it mm-hmm. is as well? Because we might be, you know, he might be thinking about, I don't know, sex clubs or, you know, swinging exactly. or something, and you might just be thinking about you know, sexy underwear and a bit of role play. So, you know, we've got to make sure.
It's very awkward, isn't it, talking about it? I think that's the thing, is that it feels like quite a big mountain to climb. Mm.
But start small. Start thinking about actually what it is that you want. And I think that's a really, sometimes quite a hard question to answer. But just start small and have a conversation, start a conversation. Even if it's one that you continue over a couple of weeks, you know, just start the conversation happening. And that's the main challenge in my experience, any relationship, this is personally and professionally, is the communication.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
She is so cool, and she's got a really good vibe about her. She's one of those people that you just hang out with her. And actually, in the afternoon, I kept wanting to go to Topshop to buy some clothes. Mm. And she kept sort of saying to me, is that going to take you closer to your goals?
Wow.
Which was quite a funny question. And I was like, shit, no, because I shouldn't be going to Topshop to buy more clothes. So yes. she's the kind of person that basically you just want to have with you, sitting in your pocket, making you sort of take the right decisions. Mm.
Yes, does she hire herself out like that? Pocket
she
Mary.
Does.
Pocket
she Mary. Does. I'm going to meet her next Thursday, actually, and I just want to pick up some more of her vibes.
Her goodness.
Yeah, exactly.
Flowing inside.
Intrinsic over knowledge. Energy. Yeah.
Well, the next thing that we're going to listen to is a little bit of a report from when I went to the Women of the World Festival in Perth, Scotland. I hosted a chat there called Let's Talk About Sex, which was really good fun. But while I was there, I looked at the programme and it was fantastic. They had Nicola Sturgeon open the show. They had a woman teaching how to change a car tyre. There was lots of chats over what was going on in the news. And I just saw something on the programme which was life drawing and body confidence class. And it piqued my interest and I had some time to kill. So I went up and thought, I will go and do some drawing. And actually it turned into something very different. So it went from being a life drawing class to something much more soul searching and deep and elucidating.
And so you actually, because this is what I'm fascinated by, is just how do you take your clothes off? Because I don't know, I would find, did you actually take everything off or did you keep?
I took absolutely everything off and I was not planning to. I went in just wanting to draw someone else, draw another model. There was about 12 women in the group, and what happened was, bit by bit, as the teacher, Esther Bunting, encouraged people to do some time modelling, everyone was keen to do it. So six women said they would do it, and then they did a turn, and then five women said they would do it, and I was literally the only person that hadn't. And it actually felt more awkward not being naked than being naked. And then the teacher came out with this clincher of a line, which was, oh, you've got that great bump. I was pregnant at the time. And she was like, you've got that great bump. That would be really good to draw. Mm-hmm. And that made me think, yeah, I'll do that.
Because I did life drawing when I was at, sort of, when I was doing my A-levels. And I remember that traditionally you come out in a robe, the life model, yes. and then you drop the robe. Yes. And there's kind of that moment where there's a reveal. And there's almost like a little bit of a silence where everyone absorbs what's happened. And then it feels very normal because actually you're just seeing another human. But there is a tiny moment just after the robe comes off where everyone's a bit kind of like, ooh.
Everyone's peering in. I think because there was safety in numbers in the group I did, there were six people naked at any one time. So it didn't really feel that awkward. And like I say, it felt more awkward having my clothes on. But it was really a great experience to see lots of people with their clothes on and then lots of people with their clothes off in a non-sexual environment that was all about creativity rather than sexuality necessarily. And I found that it was a great boost to my body confidence. So what we're going to hear now is a conversation between the life drawing teacher and the life drawing model. And they're talking about why they do it and their family responses to it. And we're then going to hear from one of the girls who did the group. So she was a student and she was like me, she wasn't expecting to get her kit off, but she did. And then we are going to hear from the teacher, Esther, as to why she does what she does and what she thinks people get from it.
Materials, they're just over there. We've just begun, and this is going to be a 4-minute pose. Starting now. I do performance art as well, and I'm often naked in that. And the first time I did that, I had an uncle and my brother in the audience, and my brother was the most embarrassed, and he won't come to anything I do, and I think he has unfollowed me on social media. You lose, after a while, you lose your sense of normal because you're so used to being naked for a living. And the things you say or drawings of yourself that you might post are still quite shocking to some people. To be a life model is not, it's not like a, doesn't have the same standards as catwalk modeling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, interesting. It is, beauty has a bigger range. So that's partly what this project is about, to show the variety of the human form, which does happen in life drawing. Has anything changed for you since you've started modelling in the way that you feel about your body, or had you sort of dealt with any potential issues already?
I think there's always going to be, in the back of your head, there's like some sort of issue. Well, I'm quite, like, in the moment, I feel quite confident. And like, I'm not like, oh, there's that spot in that one place that I've picked at and it's a scab and it's red and all that sort of stuff. But like, I think even though I'm able to do this, I think there's always going to be those little bits that you like nitpick at. But yeah, I think it's brought it down quite a lot.
Yeah.
But I think it's just natural to have those bits that you're not quite happy with.
Yeah, I totally agree. There were things I hadn't realised I had issues with, because it wasn't a big deal for me when I became a model, but I noticed over the months that I stopped wearing a bra, I stopped worrying about shaving armpits, I stopped worrying about plucking hairs out of places where they shouldn't grow, and grew my full bush, and I just, things that I thought mattered, I realise that they can be actually part of what is really interesting, and the real beauty shines through in other ways that you don't get to explore if you're not naked half the time. So how are you getting on with the drawings there?
Oh, please, for a change.
Looking good. Yeah, so you're filling your pages with various drawings. Do you need some more paper or turn it over? So, while you're having a little stretch. If anyone does want to try modelling, I have spare robes that are all clean.
How are you feeling about joining it?
Nervous.
I want to. I challenged myself to, but now I'm like,
Now you're here.
I loved it. It was better than I thought it would be. Like, I didn't think I would model, but I did, because everyone just made me feel like so relaxed, and it was really nice to meet other sort of like like-minded people, like feminists, but who are not necessarily the same age as me as well, a bit older. Body confidence normally is probably about a 3 or 4 out of 10. I don't like my stomach or my boobs or just my whole body in general. I really hate being naked, and never been naked around a lot of people like that before. If you told me this morning that I would have done this, wouldn't have believed you. Like, I was really nervous about what to wear, say, and about how I looked. And even just yesterday, I was trying to buy a Halloween costume, and I remember I was in the changing room, like, nearly crying, because I just felt like I looked really bad and everything. And if you told me within 24 hours I'd be here, like, naked with a bunch of other women, just, like, feeling really happy, I wouldn't have believed it.
So would you say it's improved your body confidence?
Just I feel all, like, a little buzz, and, you know, I just feel really good, and it's the kind of thing I've always wanted to do, because I've always tried to improve my body confidence, followed, like, body positive accounts on social media and everything, but never felt, like, brave enough myself to do it. And I just thought, you know, I should just do it, because everyone was so nice. And
so, yeah, can you just explain the factors in what made you change your mind from not thinking you'd be able to do it to suddenly...
I guess I thought I wouldn't be able to do it because I felt as though I wasn't confident enough in my body, and that I would just maybe it wouldn't look the same as other people, and other people would might be, even not in a mean way, would just be judging me. But then I saw some other people model, and I just realized, like, you know, everyone's body does look different. I know everyone says that, but you don't realize it till you see lots of bodies together in a, like, in a non-sexual way, just in, it's almost like kind of like, not maybe like loving, like, positive sort of way. And I just saw everyone else, and I thought, like, they all look so happy and relaxed, and I feel so much better about myself just for seeing them. And, like, I'm seeing, like, oh my god, other women have, like, stomachs as well. Like, and it's, I knew all of this, and I'd seen it on Instagram 1,000 times. Like, on Instagram, I block, like, you know, the really hot, like, bikini model kind of ads. I block them. I only follow body positive accounts, and even then, I still felt, like, low about myself.
Yes.
And just seeing other women in real life naked. Yes. Was like, oh my god. And I just knew that, like, I really wanted to do it as soon as I saw that, and I just changed my mind.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And you think it'll change going forward?
I hope so. Yeah, I hope I'll just, like, think back to this day. It's one of those moments, you know, when you're maybe doubting yourself a bit, and you're like, but no, but remember I did that and did this and it was fine.
I'm Esther Bunting, and I run Spirited Bodies, which is an event for people to try life modelling, to feel differently about their bodies. Usually women, but sometimes mixed.
And why did you set it up?
Because as a life model, I realised I had something that a lot of people were in awe of, and they wished they had the courage to try as well. And while most people might not have the chance to just try being a life model, I was able to create a setting where they could have a flavour of it for the beneficial side of it.
Today was quite impressive that out of a group of, how many did we have, maybe 12 people?
Yes.
Everyone, by the end of it, had tried
pretty much
modelling. Is that the normal result that you get?
It varies enormously from place to place. It's actually better to have more people drawing, because one thing that can happen if you have too many models is they don't all get to see themselves in the drawing, and that can be upsetting, because then it's like the models are competing to be drawn. So it worked out perfectly today, because everyone, no one was anxious, I suppose. But yeah, I've done it several times at WOW in London. There's always a high take up. I think women come in, they weren't even thinking of it. It's because it feels so safe in a place like WOW. It's like the whole day it's got them ready for this moment.
So do you feel quite strongly about body confidence? What do you want people to take away from this kind of session?
I think you gain a lot when you're more comfortable. It's not the be-all and end-all in terms of confidence, but if you can stop worrying about those things, you can focus more on what's important.
Do you think then that we're often sort of too hooked up on what we look like to think about other things?
I think some people are. I think they waste enormous amounts of energy and time and money on that. Yeah, it shouldn't be a priority.
And what made you start life modelling?
I'm also a performer, and actors often make good models, so we enjoy being present and being watched. I like seeing the people have that moment where they've really surprised themselves, and it's been a positive experience, and it will actually change them, maybe just a little bit, or sometimes it could lead to a big change, but that is amazing.
So I know we've already got homework from Mary Meadows about receiving a compliment graciously, but I'd also love you to look up Spirited Bodies, which is Esther's class. I really recommend that. It was a really positive experience. The picture that was drawn of me will go on Instagram. I will probably write about it for thehotbedcollective.com, so have a read. And I bet there's life drawing classes happening wherever you are. And if not, set one up, because literally all you need is some paper, a pen, and to get your kit off. I mean, it's probably the cheapest form of activity and body confidence building that you can do. So
all I know is that I got to save that file as Lisa naked, and that will entertain me for ages.
It's worth a lot of money, yeah. That file. So
that sounds like you just urinated into a cup.
I'm pouring myself a drink, people.
Pineapple juice, otherwise they think we're boozing.
It's pineapple juice, and there's some breastfeeding going on, basically. And there's all kinds of refreshment happening in the background.
We've also got kombucha, and we've got breadsticks and hummus.
If anyone makes kombucha and wants to sponsor us, we're really into kombucha.
Kombucha, which you can't say normally, ever.
And Purdy's as well.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, Purdy's. Purdy's, please sponsor us.
Purdy's.
Now, apart from all of the gratuitous snack references, it wouldn't be a Hotbed podcast without throwing to our live show. And to... I think just as a bit of light relief from body confidence, we are going to be talking about vibrators. Specifically, the three of us review two different vibrators, which we will explain all about at the beginning of the show. The thing about vibrators, they take the focus away from body image, and it's all just about pleasure. That is, unless you dress up in sexy underwear while you use your vibrator.
Always. Ooh. I know you do, Aniki.
I do. I like to get the retro, the red, itchy, spangly underwear with very, very tiny and itchy, and then I get going.
Do you buy yourself flowers and pay Barry White?
I do.
Well, no, before I you like masturbate.
Mr. Lover. Go on. Well, you're supposed to join
it's
in.
It's your favourite song. Mr. Bombastic, Kelly Fonda. You don't know the words.
I thought the words were, give me Gymtastic.
Okay. Your was homework is to learn the words of Mr. Bombastic.
It's like the posh wank for men is where they like wear a condom for a wank. I mean, it's not an actual thing. It's like
why do they
thing.
Do that?
No, it's strange. A viz thing. It's just made up. It's just a joke. And the posh wank for women is like sexy underwear and vibrators. And actually, we're not
I
judging
might try that.
Yeah, we're not judging it. It's probably a good idea. And if you need help with the masturbation, here is a review of two different types of vibrator.
We love doing reviews of vibrators, and actually today we've got two different ones that we're going to be talking about. One of them I would describe as futuristic, and that's the Crescendo Mystery Vibe, which is very, very high tech. It has lots of different features, so basically you can bend it into different positions, so it's actually very adaptable to your body. The other thing which I thought was very interesting about this vibrator is that your partner can control it remotely. So actually, if you have an app, you can actually have your partner, could be some in another country on a business trip, and they could be controlling the vibrator from all that other side of the ocean. So it's quite interesting. This is definitely, you know, you're sort of quite standard. Am I, is that right? And it's called the So Divine, Ooh La La, which has got a lovely name, Ooh La La. So we're going to be talking about these two vibrators. And this is one of the great things about being part of the Hotbed Collective, is that we do get quite a lot of vibrators said to us, don't we? So it's
a real perk of the job.
It's a real
and we
perk.
Are a bit like, we're a bit like Goldilocks, in that we all like different things.
I have a very small vagina. Lisa has a medium vagina, and I think that Cherry has quite huge, a large vagina, but massive. She won't mind me saying that.
It's not massive.
But in fact, Dr. Karen would say that isn't true, because all of our vaginas are a similar size, so I take it back.
It's Aniki, more about
Aniki's quite sensitive. Lisa's kind of in the middle, and I'm basically an animal.
So you need a different vibrator for different sensitivity. And this is what we've concluded, isn't it? That there's not one size fits all. It's about experimenting and finding a great one for you.
So the mystery vibe, I thought, was absolutely beautiful. Packaging, the branding was gorgeous. I like that it was a bit tech, that it came with an app. You could do lots of things with it. But I just felt like the it wasn't strong enough. I was like, I ain't got all day. Do you know what I mean? I got shit to do. So I didn't love it on that front, but I really like, I did not like the branding of the ooh la la. And I, do you know what I mean? And the like flowery thing, it's pink. And I did not take to it, but then I turned it on. And it's got some power. So it was a really mixed bag for me.
And funnily enough, I couldn't even get the crescendo mystery vibe to work. And I think part of that is because I am not a digital native, so I don't understand technology. And so one of the first instructions was that you needed to plug it into your laptop and download an app. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I just want to switch it on because I've only got 5 minutes to use it. So I...
Were you doing a danger wank?
Yeah, I was doing the Peppa Pig one very quickly. So I like the ooh la la because I like the 90s, I like Sex and the City, and I know how to use it. I just turn it on and off it goes. I don't want to have 16 different functions on it. I just want to switch it on and it works, and that's me. Done.
I'd say the ooh la la is a bit of a ninja, isn't it? It's in disguise. It looks like a pretty pink flower, but actually it does the business like the Mitchell brothers. I mean, it just gets down to the job.
No, okay. No, that's not okay, Lisa.
I mean, not in a sexual way, as in just give it a job, it'll do it. It'll do it. Even though it definitely looks very works. Delicate, like a flower.
It's like you, it's efficient and it gets shit done.
Yes, and thank bold. You. Yeah. So the crescendo mystery vibes, I'm not a technophobe. I'm not a digital native either. I'm whatever's in between. But I think we're all agreed that one of the sexiest things in the world is a software update, right, ladies? And that's exactly what happened with this vibrator. So I got it all charged up. I downloaded the app. I was absolutely happy with that. And the first thing it told me was, your hardware needs updating. So I had to...
I am so turned on. I don't even know what to do.
So a little swirly thing appeared on my screen and it went very slowly through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5%. So I thought, oh, well, I'm going to go on Instagram. And that stopped the update. So I had to start from the beginning again. And then, because it was another danger wank, my partner was coming upstairs, so I had to hide it under the bed. Not that he would have minded, but you know, it's all just hotbed homework. There's so much of it; I have to do it every day. I then put it onto to software update overnight, thinking, okay, I'll try it in the morning. And I plugged it in, and it said software update needed. And I thought, that's not what you want. You need to just go and get your results. And that's sort of, if I wanted a delayed orgasm, I'd do tantric, not software. But I have to say, once it started working, it was great. And the app is beautiful, and the object is beautiful. And it's kind of cool. Like, all the different programs that it comes with, it sort of moves and vibrates in different ways, so it gets lots of different areas. And I think it's quite fun that a partner can kind of operate it, because otherwise vibrators are... If you want to introduce vibrators into the bedroom, it's a bit like, well, you just make yourself a sandwich and I'll play with this vibrator. Whereas with this one, your partner can actually use the app to control it.
So can I do a non-planned straw poll?
Yes.
Yes.
Does anybody, can you blow your whistle if you comfortably, happily use sex toys with your partner? Okay. Can you blow your party popper if you'd like to, but it's a bit awkward because you think it might threaten them?
No, I haven't got one, yeah.
Because it can be difficult if you really want to introduce them, because you know it's going to be amazing for you. But you think, well, are they going to think that I'm criticising them, or What do you do about that? That's difficult. That's one of the things that we'll do on the Hotbed website, a script for if you want to introduce sex toys but worry that they'll feel bad. Mm.
And I think maybe we should go to Dr. Karen, just because there's a interesting thing that we learned, which I think we touched on before, which is that actually, why are they all this shape of the penis? Because we don't all want the penis. So I think, Dr. Karen, you're going to talk a little bit about why do we want a penis-shaped dildo?
Well, I think we probably... Can you hear me? Yeah. I think we probably don't. I think that's the thing. I think that because we know it's all about the clitoris for women, part of the problem with desire in relationships is that when sex becomes all about penetration, women lose desire because it's not really doing it for them unless there's additional clitoral stimulation somehow. So I think finding a way to bring that in, which could be sex toys, it could be oral sex, it could be just using fingers more, just like banishing penetration from time to time is the key. You've got to mix it up. Hashtag mix it up.
I have a question for you. So all the health benefits of sex, so such as osteoporosis and looking younger and living longer, do they apply to masturbation as well as sex? Woo! Is it just sort of orgasm?
Yes, yes, there you go. Yes, it does. And there's additional benefits of masturbation, which is that part of the kind of whole getting sexy with yourself, masturbating, coming, produces a surge in estrogen and testosterone, so the sex hormones, so increases your desire temporarily for a day or two afterwards. So masturbation is also good for your sex drive. But can I say one more thing about masturbation?
Of course you
yes,
can.
Yes, go ahead.
I think one of the reasons why, you know, we know that women masturbate less often than men and feel less comfortable about it is partly because women, as we're growing up, we can't see our clitoris, obviously. So women kind of stumble upon masturbation accidentally. A lot of women tell me that they learn to masturbate kind of rubbing themselves with a soft toy or lying on their bed in a particular way. They don't really know what they're doing. They don't really have the words for it. And I think partly all of us that have daughters or are women ourselves, I think there's something we have to say about teaching women the right words for their genitalia so that they know what they're talking about, so that they can learn how to give themselves pleasure.
It's a really good point, isn't it?
Yeah, because I was going to say this earlier, is that I didn't learn about the clitoris at school. I learned about procreation, and that was basically it. And the first I heard of a clitoris was in Ellen DeGeneres' stand-up comedy thing, where she was talking about if you say the word clitoris long enough and stick your tongue out, you can kind of make someone come that way. And I was like, what is this thing you were talking about? But otherwise, I didn't know. So you find out about it late, and then you realise we've got just this little thing which is just solely dedicated to our pleasure. Let's give it up for the clitoris.
Yes.
How often is that?
Yes. It's a feminist issue.
So someone told me after the show that the bit where we went, let's give it up for the clit, was their favourite bit of the entire show. So I think maybe at all of our shows going forward, we should just do that because it just makes everyone really happy. And I think naming genitalia is a feminist issue, like Dr. Karen said. I believe that very much. Mm. It's a vulva, people. It's
but
not
I don't
a vagina,
like that word.
It's a vulva.
That's my problem, is that...
I think we just have to get over it and just call it a vulva. And if we all just go for it, then it's going to sound less weird and less... sort of biology textbook.
We have to evolve her.
Evolve that vulva, or we'll get a revolver. Anyway, more on naming genitalia in a later episode. It's such a hotbed, all of this, which is why we're called the Hotbed Collective and why this podcast is called The Hotbed. Speaking of which, join us next week for episode 5. Can feminist porn give you the horn?
Mr. Lava Lava.
Mmm. So, how was that for you? If you enjoyed it as much as we did, we would love you to rate, review, and subscribe to The Hotbed on Apple Podcasts or wherever you happen to listen. Each one makes a massive difference.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.